Now joined by Alex Schiffer, Brooklyn Nets beat writer for The Athletic. Alex, why do you believe Kevin Durant decided to play this card?
First off, I just want to applaud you for transitioning from dudes' mouths to this news. That was brilliantly done. I couldn't do that.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that this has reached a point where the only way he'll come back is if they clean house, which is kind of crazy to me, given that, you know, Kevin Durant has played a role essentially as GM the past few seasons and had influence on who the coach was hired. And I think reading between the lines a little bit, there hasn't been a huge trade market for him despite being an all-time great. And I think, you know, is this a way to maybe re-energize the market a little bit and try to get a deal done given how slow this has gone?
Yeah, I kind of read it the same way. Like, I can't imagine the owner is even going to take this seriously. Like, can you picture a scenario where the owner will actually follow through on this and call his bluff and fire Nash and Marks?
No. You know, Joe Tsai, the Nets owner, spoke to me September 2021, so roughly a year ago, and he called Sean Marks the best GM in the NBA, and he also got Steve Nash to co-invest with him as a co-owner of a professional lacrosse team that starts play, I think, this coming season, the Las Vegas Desert Dogs. So it's not like this is just a business relationship to him. I mean, he's got relationships with these guys outside of the Nets. And Sean Marks was named alternate governor, where if Joe Tsai can't make a meeting and his backup can't make a meeting, Sean Marks sits in. So he's tight with these guys. I don't see how it could get from that to a resignation letter or termination, given the way the working relationship has gone so far.
Alex, do you think this actually will re-energize the Kevin Durant trade market, or do you think this is one of those things now where other GMs are kind of hearing the circus music with this guy again?
I kind of feel like it might hurt the Kevin Durant trade market, just because if you're a GM and you know there's this huge return you need to give up to get him, are you going to give up every last asset, as Shams story says Joe Tsai wants, and trade for a guy that just called for the firing of the last the guy in your position on the previous team in order to do so? I mean, I think, you know, again, the average tenure of a GM, I want to say, is like 3 years, so it's already a job you know, could have a short tenure when you get it. But, I mean, isn't that kind of greasing the wheels a little bit? So I don't know if this is going to help it per se, just because maybe if there's a team that really wants him, maybe there's a way to get the Nets on a little bit of a lower ask or find a way to get a deal done that previously wasn't there. But it's a lot to wrap my mind around, just because if I were a GM trying to trade for Kevin Durant right now, part of me would be like, I don't know now. Like I don't want to have a situation like he's leaving. So that's where my mind's at it with this.
Fair points, Alex. But I mean, hasn't Durant, with this, the release of this information, hasn't he put the Nets in an essentially a possible situation? Like if they don't trade him now, like he wants, is there any reasonable expectation that they could show up to camp and have anything approaching a functional basketball situation?
Well, that, to me, that's the question at heart, because again, we've seen something similar before with Carmelo Anthony wanting a trade out of Denver and then playing, you know, the first half of the year before being traded to the Knicks. That was a little over 10 years ago, but Carmelo Anthony did not say trade me or fire everybody beforehand, which makes it a little different. And I think also it's worth remembering that Kevin Durant's had two injuries that's cost him almost half the season the past 2 years. If you're the Nets, do you put him out there and then risk his value going lower if he gets hurt? But, you know, the Nets have talked about, when the season ended, about trying to erase a lot of this drama and move on from this and get back to their roots that made this place attractive to stars in the first place. Isn't carrying this into the year, you know, kind of going against what you said you were trying to avoid? That's why this is such an impossible situation, it feels like, right now.
With Alex Schiffer of The Athletic on this Kevin Durant news, I feel for Steve Nash. I've been saying this, you know, all year. I don't know if he can coach at all, but I think Durant and Kyrie kind of dragged him into the situation. He gave it a shot. He's trying to pull a Steve Kerr. We know how this is playing out. And now Durant is completely throwing him under the bus. How do you expect Steve Nash to respond?
Yeah, I mean, in his dealings with us, you know, Steve doesn't, you know, he when he took the job in the James Harden rumors of front and center, he talked about, you know, the elephant in the room. We leave the elephant be. And I think that that's how he will try and play this whenever we talk to him again. But I do think that there needs to be some acknowledgement of some capacity. You know, they had a great relationship. Kevin stuck up for him throughout the past 2 years. And now here we are. It's kind of tough to turn a blind eye to all that or act like, you know, the dog in the burning house gift where everything's fine. So that's why it's good to me. It's going to be interesting to see how Steve responds. You know, it's in his nature to try to avoid the controversy and try to avoid the hot topic of the media day. But again, like this is personal. You know, he called for your job. And Steve Nash is one of the toughest players, as we know, in NBA history. The shots he took, he got a tooth knocked out by Karl Malone. Like, to me, it kind of goes against his grain, his DNA as a player to just kind of brush this off. You know what I mean? So I'm curious to see how Steve handles this next time we get to talk to him.
Well, Alex, you outlined how, you know, Joe Tsai, the owner of the Nets, is a business partner of Nash's and presumably a friend. But you can't deny some of the, you know, some of the side eye that's been given to Nash by the team. And, you know, you had Cam Thomas, the second year guard, kind of have that eye rolling moment when Nash's name was mentioned at Summer League. You've had Nash get out coached by Ime Udoka in the opening round of the playoffs and the Nets get swept. You've had Kyrie Irving say a couple of years ago, we don't even need a coach. I could coach. KD could coach. I mean, what do you think the perception of Steve Nash is in that locker room?
Yeah, you know, it's been an interesting time for him because, as you said, I mean, I've said to people, because Steve has only had his full roster, you know, he had the big three with James Harden, Kyrie, and Kevin for like less than 20 games. I've said at times the jury's still out with him as a coach because we've never got to see them as a full unit, and including with Ben Simmons. But, you know, during the COVID outbreaks when they had made, you know, Blake Griffin at one point was their offensive focal point during some of those games, they were having guys play and join them that, you know, signed a 10-day that morning. And they were playing hard for Steve and really buying into what he was preaching. And I thought that was a pretty good sign that, you know, his voice still carried despite the crazies of circumstances. But as you said, I mean, the Boston series, I thought there were minimal adjustments. And Ime Udoka, who was the Nets' backup option to hire Kenny Atkinson in 2016, cleaned their clock. So I do think, and he has a new coaching staff. We'll see if there could be some new changes. There's talks of a new system and everything. But I don't look at the Cam Thomas thing as much. That was everybody and their mother telling him he needs to pass more. And I think that was the first time he maybe got uncomfortable with the media. And it got to him a little bit that everybody was kind of pointing out maybe a flaw in his game. But it's definitely been weird where his voice has been able to carry at times. And then in the postseason, you know, it hasn't resonated as much, which is obviously when you need it the most. So that's why, you know, he only has 2 years left of his deal. Do we see a second contract for him after this? Does he just pack it in? It's been such a weird dynamic for him since he took this job. I really kind of wonder if he's just kind of riding this out and then we'll see him go back to something else or just go back into retirement.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all. Great stuff as always. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Alex Schiffer of The Athletic down in Brooklyn.